with Custodians of the Planet. Custodians of the Planet brings consciousness to environmental issues and looks at different perspectives regarding the tensions and harmony of human activities in a changing climate. Our values are the main driver of our decisions. Values affect how we live, what we buy, what we spend our time doing, how we treat other beings. They are our guiding principles and essentially determine the direction in one's life. In the face of increasing loss of biodiversity, land degradation, and other environmental problems, every decision that we make can have an impact on these outcomes. The lack of equilibrium of giving and receiving between humans and nature is leading to the wicked environmental challenges that we are facing today. Configurations, meanings, and construction of the concept of nature can help to create sustainable environmental relationships. In the science of ecological management and conservation, values framework is an attempt to treat the problem rather than the symptoms. One of the global movements is getting to the heart of the matter and using the values framework as a tool to get to the root cause of environmental problems. This global movement is called Nature for All, is seeking to address environmental issues by providing for and strengthening human connections with nature. Nature for All is a global movement launched at the 2016 IUCN World Conservation Congress. It aims to build support and action for nature conservation among people from all walks of life by raising awareness and facilitating experiences and connections with the natural world. The movement is based on the knowledge that the more people experience nature, the more they will appreciate and care for it. In November 2018, Nature for All published a report titled Home to Us All: How Connecting with Nature Helps Us Care for Ourselves and the Earth. Joining us today is Dr. Rosalie Chappell, the co-author of that report. Dr. Chappell has worked in conservation for over 25 years. She has a key interest in wildlife and protected areas and integrating knowledge into decision-making processes. Dr. Rosalie is a co-founder and current director of the Blue Mountains World Heritage Institute and is currently teaching in the Master of Environmental Management program at UNSW. Rosalie, welcome to Custodians of the Planet.
Thank you, Dennis.
You have been involved in the management of protected areas through your work with the Blue Mountains World Heritage Institute for the past 15 years. Can you start by saying something about why the Institute was established?
Sure. So the Institute is a small not-for-profit organization based up in the Blue Mountains, and we focus on doing research and community engagement that can inform the management and protection of the World Heritage Site. And what really inspired me and my co-founders to set up the Institute 15 years ago was not only that I live up in the Blue Mountains, but that I'd been involved in wildlife research for many years and was starting to work more actively in relation to policy. And a big issue in relation to control of feral horses in a national park elsewhere in New South Wales that I was involved in about early 2000s. And that was in relation to the killing of several hundred wild horses in a national park in order to protect the natural environment. And there are a number of particular conditions and circumstances that led to this opportunity for national parks to kill a large number of the horses at once. And they saw it as doing their duty to protect nature and to control introduced species. And the horses were an introduced species in this national park. So I then spent some years working on an inquiry that was held into that shooting, because a lot of the public were very concerned that this isn't right. We shouldn't be killing horses in the name of conservation. And it was such a complex issue and really, really hard to generate public understanding, and also for us as scientists to really know where do we stand in relation to this. Nobody wants to be killing horses. So that issue and the complexity of it and the challenge of communicating it to the public and working through that, you know, that fine line between scientific fact, emotional response, and the core values that were at play here was really what inspired us setting up the Blue Mountains Institute to provide, at least for this part of the country, a group of people who could really start to focus more on working together closely with government agencies, with researchers, with policymakers to try and bring some more coherent and integrated approaches to addressing complex environmental conservation issues such as I had been confronting with the horses. So we've really spent the last 15 years looking at different management issues up here in the Blue Mountains, from bushfire management to, again, horse management, dingo management, and how people live in relationship to this vast wilderness up here and how they understand the management of this wilderness. And so to bring about more stronger collaboration between the government agencies managing the national park, between the people working at the universities, and those of us who actually live up here. I think that's probably enough of a response to your original question.
What's really puzzled me is that the horse management issue, wow, what a dilemma. So to protect nature, national parks shoot horses. That sounds hectic. And in this sense, Blue Mountains World Heritage Institute plays a significant role. And to understand better the ways of management of the institute, I want to focus on your research. You have recently prepared two major reports, one on protected areas and the other on nature connection. Can you tell us something about the report on protected areas and what you focused on?
Yeah, so these two reports that I've worked on really represent what I'm seeing as being really emerging ways to work in relationship to conservation. And this is where I'm really trying to steer some of the work of the World Heritage Institute. The report that I did on protected areas was focusing on education and capacity building. So it was looking at that question of, given the complexity of conservation in this day and age and the challenges that we're up against, and looking specifically at protected areas, how do we set aside vast tracts of land and look after them so that we really are being successful in conservation? So the report that I did was for the Protected Areas Learning and Research Collaboration, which is a collaboration of several universities and some NGOs, and the Blue Mountains Wood Heritage Institute is one of those NGOs. And we were trying to find out, what skills and capacity and knowledge do people need to have who are charged with the responsibility of looking after protected areas? What skills do they have and what do they need, and where are they going to get that training and education? Because there are some big gaps in the marketplace in terms of providing short courses in particular that can fill in those gaps in people's knowledge to be able to help them to confront the complex conservation challenges and to provide them with very, very specific training and expertise that they need to be able to be more effective in conservation. And so the outcomes of that report are now really informing the work that I'm doing at the Institute now to put in place new courses that can meet the identified needs. And that report was looking not only across Australia, but also across the Asia-Pacific region. So we're really trying to build stronger partnerships regionally in terms of building capacity for people working in protected areas and to meet those challenges.
Well, education is the key no matter what the issue is. What about the other report on nature connection, which is part of the nature for all movement based on the knowledge that the more people experience nature, the more they appreciate, love, and respect it. Can you elaborate on this? How does connecting with nature help us care for the earth?
Yeah, so again, in my work, I'm finding that, you know, there's only so much one can do in terms of research. And that's what I spent so many years was working more in the research space. And then the older I get, the more I realize that unless people are really having a deep personal connection with nature, and particularly if we're talking about the general public, then how are we to expect people to really engage with and get concerned about conservation if they themselves haven't had that personal experience of what nature means to them and how important it is? So, and this, of course, relates to the capacity building and training that I was talking about before. This is another dimension of that. So the Nature for All movement is, it's really like a big global campaign that was initiated by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, which we call IUCN for short. So that organization initiated the Nature for All movement a few years ago, specifically with the purpose to find ways to help people, say, living in cities, to help them to have more experiences of being in nature, of being in forests, and to find their own meaning in that, and to inspire people to then connect, to inspire people to then become more active in trying to protect nature. And this might mean that they undertake more advocacy, that they might become more involved in politics, or they might do any number of things from bush regeneration to other things that can help to conserve our native ecosystems. And so that second report that you mentioned earlier was looking at that question of what evidence is there that when people have more time in nature, more direct connection with nature, what evidence is there how those experiences are really changing people and changing their behavior, and how they then might change their own lifestyles or what they are prepared to take action on in the name of conservation. So this report is available on a website which is called natureforall.global, and the leaders of the writing of that report was the Children and Nature Network, who are based in North America. So there was a team of us around the world who put in time over the last couple of years to pull together a synthesis of evidence of how people having time in nature influences them and their behavior.
And your target in this study, in this training and education, what is the age group?
So look, through my own work, my focus is mostly on university students, just because that's where my experience is, because I teach it at the University of New South Wales. But I'm also starting now to develop programs with secondary schools. So this is working more with people who are aged, say, between 14 and 17. But one of the findings from that Nature for All report was how important it is that the younger children are, the more important it is that they have experiences of nature, because we all know that how much we have been impacted by early childhood experiences. And the sooner children have exposure to nature and develop their own connection with trees, and this could even just be parks in cities, they don't have to be out in vast wilderness areas to have that relationship. So, you know, at any time throughout life, these experiences are impactful, but as with most experiences, they're most impactful when we're young.
Then the following question is, does the current education system in Australia provide youth with the opportunity to connect with nature? And as an expert, what do you think needs to change in our education system so we become better custodians of the planet?
So this is something that, again, because most of my teaching has been at university, I've been looking what opportunities university courses provide for this, and I think we do have a real problem in that if you look right through the education system over the last 200 years, especially in developed countries like Australia, Europe, North America, Canada, New Zealand, we're focusing on a very sort of rational, scientific way of understanding our natural environment. And in university courses, there are so few that actually take the students out into nature and teach them in laboratory of nature rather than in the laboratory on campus. And so I've been working to try and find ways to build in more field trips to university courses so that that experiential learning, that nature-based learning can happen. And I know that there are some secondary schools that are really trying to place more emphasis on this. And of course, we have education systems like the Rudolf Steiner schools, which have had this embedded in their curriculum for ever since they were established many decades ago. But certainly in our curriculum in Australia, schools are just so busy having to meet the curriculum standards that they see it as sort of the luxury of going out into nature and giving children time in nature where it's not about specifically outdoor recreation or sport or adventure. There are not programs built into schools which are simply about taking students into nature so they can be learning these other lessons, to be understanding what's going on in natural systems and how that impacts us so directly.
Rosalie Chappell is the current director of the Blue Mountains World Heritage Institute. Thank you for joining us, Rosalie.
My pleasure, Dennis. Thanks for doing these podcasts. I think it's a really valuable thing.
Thank you. And I encourage you all to check out the Nature for All website, natureforall.global, and download a copy of the report. Custodians of the Planet is an independent and freely available media program and relies entirely on contributions from listeners. If you appreciate what we do and would like to support us, there are a few ways to do so. Start a conversation with your friends and colleagues and be part of the change. Share a link to our podcasts on social media. Donate to our podcast. Each episode is the product of hours of on-location audio recording, editing, research, scheduling, and music composition. Just $10, a couple of coffees will sustain the hours of labor that go into producing each episode and ensure Custodians of the Planet is an ongoing series. Thank you for your support. For this episode, I'd like to say special thanks to Bonnie Paris for editing the scripts. I'm Denise Yildiz, and stay tuned for the next episode. Thanks for listening.